Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Breaking news. Ceasefire in the Middle East. After 11 bloody days, the Israelis and Hamas agree to stop attacks. When the fighting will stop and the terms of the agreement after the death of more than 200 Palestinians and a dozen Israelis. And now a humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip. President Biden reacts tonight. Pandemic progress. New daily cases of coronavirus are at the lowest levels in nearly a year. Tonight, the efforts by states to get people vaccinated by bringing shots to their doors. And when you might need a booster shot. Plus, the hidden consequences of the COVID crisis, the deadly cost for millions who put off medical treatment and screenings. Disturbing video. A man dies after being kicked, tased, and handcuffed by police. Did police try to cover up what happened? Calculated deceit. Remember that bombshell interview with Princess Diana in 1995? Well, the BBC reveals how lies and phony bake statements helped one of its journalists land the exclusive. Plus, Prince William speaks out.
The interview was a major contribution to making my parents' relationship worse.
Lessons from Law and Order. What an 11-year-old girl learned from the TV drama to not only escape an attempted kidnapping, but help police catch the suspect. Hurricane season forecast. Will the U.S. face another active season? And remarkable rescue. How an Eagle Scout, an experienced hiker, got lost for 5 days and survived.
This is the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell, reporting from the nation's capital.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us. We are going to begin with that breaking news because after more than a week of deadly airstrikes and pounding rocket attacks, Israel and Hamas have moved from the brink of war to the start of a ceasefire. Tonight, both sides say they have agreed to stop the relentless bombing that has killed more than 200 people and reduced portions of Gaza to rubble. Moments ago, President Biden said the U.S. would provide rapid humanitarian assistance and that Israelis and Palestinians equally deserve to live safely and securely. Well, the truce follows last-minute negotiations led by Egypt after days of what the White House has called quiet, intensive diplomacy. But tonight, Gaza is largely without power and water, and Israel is still reeling from 11 days in the crosshairs of an estimated 4,000 Hamas rockets. All of which is to say that tonight's truce is fragile at best. CBS's Ed O'Keefe is at the White House with more on President Biden's involvement in the agreement. But first, we want to go to CBS's Holly Williams. She's going to lead off our coverage tonight from Tel Aviv. Good evening, Holly.
Nora, the Palestinian side has told CBS News tonight that the ceasefire will begin at 2 a.m. local time. That is around half an hour from now. But just in the last hour, we've had reports both of rocket fire from the Gaza Strip and Israeli airstrikes.
The ceasefire couldn't come soon enough for the people of this region. In Gaza today, they again searched through the rubble for survivors and buried more of their dead. There's been intense pressure to stop the fighting. Today, the White House said it's engaged more than 80 times with the Israelis, the Palestinian Authority, and others in the region. And in the last 24 hours, Hamas, the Palestinian group that America regards as a terrorist organization, signaled openness to a ceasefire. With Gaza in a humanitarian crisis, foreign journalists haven't been allowed in, the Israeli authorities saying it's too dangerous.
For now, this is as close as we can get to the crossing into the Gaza Strip. It's about 4 miles in that direction.
Over the Gaza Strip's weak internet connection, we spoke with the mayor of Gaza City.
Almost all services has been cut off, and there were deliberate attacks and systematic attacks.
When you're raised in...
Gonen Ben Yitzhak is a former Israeli intelligence officer, credited with preventing dozens of Palestinian terror attacks.
I'm just a patriot.
He says this was a political conflict that's backfired on Israel and helped strengthen Hamas. He blames Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, for igniting the clashes as he fights for his survival as leader.
The goal is to keep his position, and I think this is why he let the situation get to the point we are in.
And Holly's back with us. And Holly, is there a sense if this ceasefire will hold long term?
Well, Nora, what I can tell you is that it looks pretty fragile. The spark for this conflict was threatened evictions and clashes in Jerusalem. And if you don't solve the underlying issue, which is two peoples who both believe this is their country, one group vastly more powerful than the other, then there's a very good chance the same thing will happen all over again.
Holly Williams, thank you. And let's go now to the White House. President Biden spoke just a short while ago saying he sees a genuine opportunity for progress towards peace in the Middle East. We get more now from CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
President Biden tonight welcomed the news of a Middle East ceasefire.
And I send my sincere condolences to all the families, Israeli and Palestinian, who have lost loved ones, and my hope for a full recovery for the wounded.
Until tonight, the president has said very little in public about the violence.
I believe the Palestinians and Israelis equally deserve to live safely and securely and to enjoy equal measures of freedom, prosperity, and democracy.
The White House has focused in recent days on what it calls quiet, intensive diplomacy behind the scenes.
I believe we have a genuine opportunity to make progress, and I'm committed to working for it.
Mr. Biden has spoken with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu 6 times since the violence began, and today with the president of Egypt. Part of the administration's more than 80 calls to Mideast leaders in the past week. Also today here at the White House, the president signed legislation designed to address those anti-Asian attacks, the thousands that have occurred since the pandemic began. The law passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. It helps the Justice Department investigate hate crimes and helps states establish hotlines to report them. Nora?
All right, Ed O'Keefe at the White House. Thank you. Well, tonight, nearly 40% of Americans are fully vaccinated against COVID-19. But we're learning more tonight about how long that protection may last and when you'll need a booster shot. CBS's Nikki Batiste has all the details.
Tonight, a COVID vaccine booster could be necessary by fall for people who are already fully vaccinated.
I believe in 1-2 months we will have enough data to speak about it with much higher scientific certainty.
Dr. Anthony Fauci says the vaccines are effective for at least 6 months, likely more, but boosters will probably be needed.
It's really going to depend on following what the durability of immunity is and essentially recommending it at an appropriate time.
The first dose of Pfizer's vaccine in the U.S. was administered 5 months ago to a critical care nurse from New York. This comes as states scramble to get the first dose into arms.
We have the Moderna vaccine.
In Philadelphia, where demand has slowed, the city is going to the community.
I feel safe now.
Today, there was a twofer on offer, a shot and a free meal.
We're just not going to get back to normal unless we take care of the folks who, you know, may be homeless or struggling with poverty.
How are you today?
In Rhode Island, nurse Angela Flynn went door to door to vaccinate the homebound.
As soon as they see you with that cooler, their face lights up.
She gave shots to Patrick Gallagher and his bedridden wife, Karen.
It'd be very difficult to get her vaccinated if it weren't for this program.
Gambling on getting more shots into arms in Maryland, the state launched a lottery for vaccinated residents today with a $40,000 prize.
We'll continue to do this every day for 40 straight days.
Here in Philadelphia, there is still an indoor mask mandate until at least June 11th. One reason is that more than half of the city's population is still unvaccinated, including about half of firefighters and police workers. Nora?
All right, Nikki Batiste, thank you. Well, tonight there's outrage over some disturbing body cam video from Louisiana. It shows the violent arrest of a man who later died after an encounter with police. And the big question tonight, were officers trying to cover up what happened? Here's CBS's Janet Shamlian.
That's the voice of Ronald Green, apologizing after leading Louisiana state troopers on a high-speed chase.
I'm so scared. I'm just scared.
After he's stopped, a trooper tases him, and he's pulled from the car. The 2019 video, newly obtained by the Associated Press, shows Green beaten, kicked,
you're about to get it again,
and repeatedly tased by one of seven white officers on the scene. The 49-year-old was also dragged briefly by his shackled ankles. The AP says Green was then left face down for more than 9 minutes.
When you first saw this video, what did you think?
I thought it was a murder.
Tonight, CBS News is hearing from Green's mother, Mona Hardin, who first saw the video last fall.
No one is above the law. But it seems like they continue to dance this out to where they wanted to just go away.
Hardin says state police initially claimed her son died from injuries in the car crash that ended the chase, later changing the story, acknowledging there was a struggle and saying Green died en route to the hospital. Lee Merritt has filed a wrongful death suit on the family's behalf.
These men not only had to do this terrible thing, they didn't have to falsify reports.
The Justice Department has opened a criminal investigation, and the FBI is also involved.
The Louisiana State Police tells CBS News the incident is still under review. It calls the release of that video unauthorized and says it compromises the investigation. Nora?
Janet Shamlian, thank you. Well, tonight, an extraordinary statement from Britain's Prince William. He's lashing out at the BBC after an investigation found that one of its journalists used phony documents in 1995 to land a bombshell interview with his mother, Princess Diana. Many believe that that interview changed the royal family forever. CBS's Roxana Saberi reports tonight from London.
Well, there were three of us in this marriage, so it was a bit crowded.
26 years after Princess Diana shocked the royal family and the world with details about her failing marriage, her son Prince William is blasting the BBC for how reporter Martin Bashir landed the bombshell interview.
It brings indescribable sadness to know that the BBC's failures contributed significantly to her fear, paranoia, and isolation that I remember from those final years with her.
He was responding to a 127-page report released today that found that Bashir deceived and induced Diana's brother, Earl Spencer, to arrange a meeting with the princess, eventually persuading her to do the interview. The report accuses Bashir of showing Spencer fake bank statements, suggesting that people close to his sister were being paid to spy on her.
The deceitful way the interview was obtained substantially influenced what my mother said. The interview was a major contribution to making my parents' relationship worse and has since hurt countless others.
Diana's explosive statements forced Queen Elizabeth to tell her and Prince Charles to divorce. Diana died 2 years later, fleeing from the paparazzi. Prince Harry, who was 12 at the time, said in a statement, "Our mother lost her life because of this and nothing has changed." In a statement, Bashir apologized for forging bank statements, saying they had no bearing on her personal choice to take part in the interview. A handwritten note signed by Diana said she had no regrets about speaking with him.
The BBC has also issued an apology for what it calls unacceptable failures and says it should have done more to get to the bottom of what happened. Nora?
Roxana Saberi, thank you. And a courageous 11-year-old Florida girl is speaking out tonight about how she fought off an alleged kidnapper who was wielding a knife with nothing more than her bare hands and a little blue slime. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti has her remarkable story.
11-year-old Alyssa Bonnell was waiting for the school bus when the driver of this white SUV jumped out and charged at her with a knife.
What was going through my head right now was, when it happened, was, what is he going to do with me? What is my family going to think?
But she wasn't going down without a fight. And on this morning, she was already mad.
My baby sister was all up all night throwing up, and so I did not get no sleep that night. And I was freaking so mad.
She was also quick thinking, throwing blue slime she was playing with at her attacker before he ran off in shock. It's a lesson she says she learned from watching Law & Order Special Victims Unit.
Try to get evidence of that other person that's trying to kidnap you, and they find your DNA and the other person's DNA.
You are one brave, strong, and smart young woman, wrote the show star Mariska Hargitay. Deputies used surveillance cameras and evidence planted by the grade schooler to track down and arrest the suspect. 30-year-old Jared Paul Stangup, seen here in court, is being held on $1.5 million bail after detectives found him smeared in blue slime. Jonathan Vigliotti, CBS News.
Quick thinking with that blue slime. All right. As new COVID cases decline across the country, more Americans are heading back to the doctor's office. But for some, all those skipped appointments during the pandemic created serious health risks. Here, CBS's Dr. John LaPook.
It's one more troubling consequence of the pandemic, delayed medical care. 4 in 10 Americans put off routine or emergency visits in the first half of 2020, sometimes with devastating results. A year ago, despite having a heartbeat irregularity called atrial fibrillation, Eric Masella felt healthy.
And then COVID happened. My kid was home. So, you know, kind of stress built. Doctors weren't available. So I hadn't seen a doctor for a while.
What's a while?
Oh, probably a year.
Last fall, he developed a persistent cough and fatigue. COVID was ruled out. By January, he could no longer ignore his symptoms. His heart function was so poor, some organs started shutting down.
Kidney failure, liver failure, cardiac arrest, I died. They were able to get me back, and once they did, I was on life support for the next 3 days.
Push, 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 push!
At 45, with a nearly 2-year-old son, Asher, he had heart failure. In the U.S., emergency room visits last spring for heart attacks and strokes decreased by about 20%, and worldwide, cardiac diagnostic testing decreased by 2/3.
Because of COVID, there's such a hesitancy and such a fear to going to the hospital.
Mount Sinai cardiologist Dr. Anu Lala helped Masella recover.
The message that I would urge people to take home is do not ignore your symptoms. Take the time to check in with yourself.
What do you think when you look at Asher now?
What could have happened if he didn't have a father? And that still scares me, but I'm safe now.
And Dr. LaPook joins us now with that important message. So, Dr. LaPook, what are some of the appointments that people really need to make sure that they keep?
You know, anything to do with preventive medicine. You know, Nora, a lot of us feel like we're emerging from a form of hibernation. And as we do that, it's important to reestablish connection with our primary care providers and talk about screening tests for things like heart disease and cancer. Tests like mammography and colonoscopy precipitously dropped about a year ago with the onset of the pandemic. Now, they made a comeback, but they really haven't gone back all the way. And the head of the NCI, the National Cancer Institute, has warned he's afraid that in the years to come, there's going to be an increase in excess unnecessary deaths, cancer deaths, because of screening tests that were missed during this past year.
Wow, important information. I know I've made a habit to try and just get my preventative visits now. Thank you.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Dozens of big cats were rescued today from the Oklahoma Animal Park featured in the Netflix documentary Tiger King. 68 lions, tigers, and other big cats were seized by authorities from the park's new owners, who prosecutors called unethical. The former owner, known as Joe Exotic, is now serving a 22-year sentence in a murder-for-hire plot. All right, the Atlantic hurricane season is just days away, and today forecasters predicted another busy one with 13 to 20 named storms, 6 to 10 hurricanes, 3 to 5 of those possibly major storms, category 3 or higher. The first storms will be named Anna, Bill, Claudette, Danny, and Elsa, and look, there's a Grace and Henry, too. Tonight, a missing hiker who survived 5 days on only water is recovering after being rescued from deep inside the Angeles National Forest north of L.A. 58-year-old George Null became disoriented during his hike when he hit trails destroyed in a wildfire last year. Well, yesterday, rescuers spotted him waving at the bottom of a canyon, and they were able to airlift him to safety. All right, an emotional reunion between two fishing captains and the woman whose life they saved when she was little. That's tomorrow when CBS's Steve Hartman goes on the road. And a reminder, if you can't watch us live, don't forget to set your DVR so you can watch us later. That's tonight's edition of the CBS Evening News. I'm Nora O'Donnell in the nation's capital. We'll see you right back here tomorrow. Good night.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.